How's everybody doing?
Great.
Probably better than me. Mr. Bree started out there, and I'm like, he's walking all over my lesson. Thankfully, he didn't like get out his big work boots and like jump up and down on it. So hopefully it's a good exhortation, a 1-2 shot here. He did a fantastic job. I'm going to work up someone who said. Before I started, I wanted to get this out. I don't know if any of you guys like to read the comics. I read the comics. And I just, this is a family circus, you know, which is usually a pretty, and I don't know if the guy who wrote this, you guys can make your own, if the guy was being very sarcastic or if he actually meant it. It's a picture of the boy leaving the church building, and he says, "Goodbye, God. Thank you. I had a very nice time." That is so typical of what the world believes church is. You go to the building, you meet God for an hour or so, he makes you feel all warm and fuzzy, and then you leave. "Thanks, God. I had a nice time." I don't know if the guy's being sarcastic. I hope he is, and he understands the truth, or if he just bought into what the world believes. I'll pass this around. This is definitely, if not, he's really pushing a view. So anyhow, a very sad state of America. I don't know. I don't really know. Anyhow, that's just if not, then he's probably a lot of people. Oh, what a cute comic! You know, you gotta watch. That subtlety that the world is pushing, trying to get into people's heads. It's definitely there, even in the funny pages. Let's read John chapter 18. Let's turn there. John chapter 18. I'll read verses 37 through 38. John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. "Therefore Pilate said to him," being Jesus, "so you're a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I'm king. For this I've been born, for this I've come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" When he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to him, "I find no guilt in him." Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, great God, almighty, Lord God, I'm just so thankful, Lord, for the church, for the truth, that we have the truth, Father God, you have given to us. Father God, I thank you that the view of truth, the correct view, is that you are with us every day. We don't just come here and say goodbye to you, Father God, but that you are peace and part of our lives every day, Lord. That we get to have fellowship with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You never leave us, Father God. What a comforting thought, especially in such a messed up world, Lord. Father, I pray tonight for this message that it encourages the saints, that it helps to build them up in this battle for righteousness. It's a battle that's a guaranteed victory as long as we follow our Lord, our Commander, our friend, Jesus Christ, Lord. So I thank you for this time. May it encourage the saints. Be with them, Father God. Be with those who aren't here, Lord. Just continue to take care of them and bring them back safely, Lord, so we can assemble with them soon, Father. We thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Pilate asked a question here, and it's the one Mr. Bree brought up too. What is truth? This is really, if you think about what is truth, what that question really is, that is the key question to mankind. What is truth? Every man and woman on the face of this planet is probably, whether or not they know it, they're asking themselves that question. We live in a generation that has no clue what truth is. The world out there today, no idea. That's really, you wonder why people are so messed up? That's why. They don't know what the truth is. I mean, look at truth. What is truth? Truth is a foundation. They have no foundation. God has made us logical creatures. We won't turn there, but I'm sure most of you know, Isaiah chapter 1 says, God says, "Come now, let us reason together." Reason and logic, those two concepts are intrinsically tied together. See, reason is a way that you work through a problem, or you try to work through a set of deductions. You try to go get from point A to point B. You do it using reason. You reason your way through this. You ever heard that? Logic is the rules that you apply to reasoning. Logic's how you work your way through some steps when you're reasoning through it. But the key is, if your logic is flawed, then your reasoning will never, ever bring you to a truthful answer. Your logic has to be correct in order for your reasoning to work. Simply, reason is a system. Logic are the rules applied to that system. So God asks us to come and reason with Him. He's called us to work through a problem, And that problem is primarily sin, separation of man from God. That's really the crux of the problem. He says, let's reason this out. Let's figure this out. So let's, he commands man to come before him and reason and work out the sin, separation from God. To do this is going to require logic, though. When he says, come, let's reason together, what kind of logic are we going to throw at the problem? That's the question. What system of rules? If we want to arrive at a correct answer, then the logic must be based on truth. This is going to take us back to our question. That's why that question Pilate asked. He said, what is truth? And when he's saying that, what is the truth of this life? What really is truth? He's saying, is there really such a thing as truth? Many of us probably have heard that wondered today. The fundamental question of life, what is truth? More importantly, what is real? Might be a better way to put it. Start off with, I'm going to kind of take this at a different track. I kind of look at what isn't truth. What is not truth? The one thing I really want to get across in this starting is truth is not, cannot, and never will be based on feelings. This is part of the reason that the world has no concept of truth, because they base their truth upon how they feel. Feelings are an amazingly powerful thing in the human body. And definitely will attest to that. It's amazing what feelings can do, how quickly they can come up on you, and the crazy things that they make people do. When we feel happy, we feel sad, when we feel in love, when we are angry, those feelings, if you're the individual feeling that feeling, it's very real to you. You think everybody's feeling, but actually it's just your body feeling those feelings. They're very real to you, and they cause all sorts of ramifications in the world around us. People die. Wars are started. People get married. All sorts of things happen. Take it how you want. Not all bad. Not all feelings cause bad things. That's what I was trying to come up with, a positive one. So, but anyhow, emotions, feelings, people work off of those, and all sorts of things happen based upon those. But when you really get down to the nitty-gritty of what a feeling is in your body, really, what a feeling is, it's a chemical reaction and electrical impulses flying through your body. I mean, that's really what it is, you know. That's not too romantic when you look at love or being in love, but that's really what it is. It's really just, it's your brain kicking into hyperdrive, especially with anger. I talked about that a little last time. Your body temperature goes up, heart rate starts racing. You know, if you're in love sometimes, your palm gets sweaty, whatever it may be. But those are physical reactions happening because chemical reactions are happening in your brain and electrical impulses are going throughout your body. That is really what a feeling is. All of these are just chemical reactions, electrical impulses happening. See, what I'm driving at is that emotions feel real, especially to the person that's having them. They feel very, very real. But they can never be a basis for truth. Why? Because where do they come from? They come from, and I'm going to use my geeky computer terms, they come from the CPU in your head. That's where a feeling originates. It originates from up here. And see, the thing is, everybody's got a little bit different CPU. God didn't give us all an Intel AM or Intel hyper-threaded dual-core processor, the same one stamped at us all. We each have a little bit different processor. You know, we're all different. You know, God has made each and every one of us a little bit different. And the historical accuracy of using our CPUs or our brains as a basis for truth is not good at all. Historically, that's gone really, really poor. Feelings feel real, and feelings are real to the individual. But the basis for feelings depends upon the individual. See, each person can react differently to a situation. What makes one person angry may make another person happy. You know, might totally different. You may say potato, I may say potato. Potato, potato, you know. I don't know if he remembers the Goofy song, but anyhow. but we all have different things. We all react to things differently. And one person might like one thing, and another person might dislike that. And the other person might dislike that, and the other person might like that. So we all react differently to situations. So how can that be truth? If feelings differ from person to person to person, how can that ever be true? See, one thing about truth is it can never, ever have more than one answer. It can have a multitude of wrong answers, but it can never have multiple answers. Let's go back to mathematics. 2 plus 2 equals 4. 2 plus 2 equals 4, and it only equals 4. It will never equal anything else. There is an infinite amount of numbers in the world. You know, you can go from 1 to infinity. Okay? So that means if 4 is the right answer, there are infinite wrong answers. Truth can only have one right answer. There's an infinite number of wrong answers, but there can only be one answer, one right answer. So since emotions can vary from person to person, they can never be a basis for truth. Because if they did, then there would be multiple answers for truth. Truth can only have one answer. And that's hard for people to accept because their emotions feel real. And emotions are real to us, but emotions can feel good or bad. They can never be quantified as being truth. Emotions depend upon how you feel. Truth depends on is it true or false. Emotions are not. They change from situations, thus they can never be true. So truth must be based on something greater. Turn to John chapter 1. I want to read verses 1 through 5, then I'm going to just jump directly to chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then we jump to 14, verse 6. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness did not comprehend it. And jump into 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Using logic, we can deduct that Jesus equals truth. Jesus equals the Word. Excuse my penmanship. Cross out Jesus, and we have truth equals the Word. Wow, that's really bad penmanship. But you get my drift. When we look at what is truth, truth is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Thus, the Word is truth. Jesus' words and the Scriptures as a whole, because they're all Jesus' words, are truth. The written Word of God is the truth. It's the truth of this world. It's the foundation that God wants. It's a system of logic God wants to use us to use when we're reasoning with Him, when we're working through things, when we're working through our relationship with us. God has communicated to us who He is and what He wants by writing it down. Written communication, the written Word, is the best way to communicate truth. Emotions, like I said, they can feel good or bad. But truth is always black and white. It is what it is. It is what it says. What is written down is truth. Words are either true or false. Emotions either feel good or don't feel good. We won't go there tonight, but if you know, Jesus said these words are truth. And if you want to know if this is truth, there's awesome studies out there proving the Bible is the Word of God. We can prove that the Scriptures that we have here are the truth, and that they are, in fact, from God, and they are reliable. But when you ask someone how they feel, you can get all sorts of answers. They vary from person to person. I feel great. I don't feel so good. Feelings vary from person to person, from day to day, from hour to hour, and minute to minute. When we read something, though, it says the same thing to each person. They might interpret it differently, but the words do not change. That is why God used the written Word to communicate to us. People take things differently depending on their mind or emotional state, but the fundamental characters, the symbols and the meaning of the characters in here and the language that is written in will not change. It never changes. Man may try to change the definition of words, but what God is communicating never changes, as long as we stay true to the definitions. On a side note, that is why it is so important to use a good translation. Those Bible paraphrases, those are where man starts changing the words. When man starts changing the words, you no longer have truth. It's got to be based upon what God says. That is the only way we can work through that system of logic. Words are either true or false, and as long as we stay with their true meaning, and we know that the source of the words are true, then they are the source of truth when it comes to the spiritual things of this life. It's the scriptures, the written word. Going back to our opening, this becomes a logic in the system that we are to use when we're reasoning through the problem of man and his sin against God. Now, going back to the question, why is it so hard for people to accept? You know, this seems logical enough. You know, we can prove that this is true. That this is the truth of this life. Pilate asked that question. Why didn't he wait for an answer? He didn't want it. Why don't people want the truth? That's the question. Well, it's based upon the lie that being a Christian is based upon the lie that's basically permeating that comic that's floating around here. It's based upon the lie that being a Christian and following God's word will make you feel better. The key word there is feel better. God never promised in here he's going to make you feel better. He's going to put you in a more positive, emotional state, especially for the moment. Jump to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thought and intentions of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open, laid bare to the eyes with whom we have to do. God's word is pictured here as a two-edged sword. It's pictured as something that is extremely sharp, something that is going to cut. It's going to cut soul and spirit, joint, marrow, judge the thoughts and intentions of man's heart. It pierces. It pierces who we are. It pierces, and what it will do is it will pierce the perceptions we might have of this world. We act based upon what we believed. And if you're not in Christ, what are you going to believe? What are you going to base your truth on? What are you going to base your actions on? If you don't have a foundation, where is that? Where are your actions? Where is your whole logic for this world going to come from? It's going to come on what you basically going to come from inside. It's going to be based upon what makes you feel good. This is really how the world operates. They do what is right in their own eyes. That's the way God likes to put it. If we have no framework for truth, if we have no framework for what is real, if we have no framework for a moral law, then the only thing to do is to come up with one yourself. I mean, God has made us people who want to know, he's made us logical to find these things out. You don't see the animals out there, squirrels, dogs, and cats trying to, put together, a system of government, of laws, and rules and regulations. They don't do it. You know, God has made, that's a part of being human, of being human. So if we don't have that framework, man's going to come up with one on his own. Man improvises and provides one. This is what happened in pre-flood. How'd that turn out? Really bad. Yeah, it turned out really, really bad. That's what happened post-flood. How'd that turn out? That turned out really bad, too. This is what happened in Israel. Now, that didn't happen, work out very well either. And this is still the same thing that's happening today. It's called humanism. It's basically, I am going to do what makes me feel good. And you have no right to tell me that I can't do that if it makes me feel good. Relativism. You can slap whatever name you want on it, but that's really what it is. Man left upon his own makes up his own morality. And that morality, since it has no framework for truth, it has no foundation, it's going to be based upon what feels good to the individual. What is going to make me, what feels good to me, especially in the flesh. It basically comes up to whatever feeds the flesh. Whatever laws will get the most for me. And that's pretty much the law of greed and selfishness. I think this pretty much sums up all the people of the world. And it also sums up, where we were before Christ. Selfish, working from a standpoint of what's in it for me. That's what the world sees. And anybody who comes to the truth is going to run into a smack dab into a wall, because they're going to see that it's not all about them. That there is a law, and that law is not, or there is a system put into place, and that system is not there to make them feel good. That system is put in there to restore their fellowship with God, to bring that back, to bring them back into a state of, into a true relationship with, to restore that relationship with God. That's what it's based upon. That's what God is trying to do. And that's going to cause some pain for a little while. That is why the Word pierces the soul and the spirit. The Word will pierce the views and perceptions of the world. It's going to challenge it. And for most people, that will be uncomfortable. That's why the world didn't want to hear it. That's why Pilate didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. He probably had a pretty good idea. You think Pilate didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah? I think he's like, this guy ain't my normal prisoner. There's something going on here. But if he actually dug a little deeper, Pilate might find himself. You see the same thing when Paul wanted to turn to Christ. You see the same thing with King Agrippa. You know, I think he's the guy who wanted to have Paul come out and talk to him. Like to listen to him talk, but every once in a while it's about self-control. Whoa, we're getting a little too deep here. You better go back to your cell. Why? He's getting too close to the truth. The truth is starting to affect King Agrippa's life. The truth, if anybody looks at it with a real and honest heart, it will cut. The great thing is it's going to cut away the bad stuff so that we can get to the good stuff. Mankind, when faced with the moral truth of the Scriptures, the only truth that really exists, may not want to accept it because it's going to fly in the face of the perception of the truth, the fake reality that they have created around them. The flesh builds up a reality that is based on what is good for itself. God brings in a new reality, the true reality, that is based upon what is good for Him. And that reality is going to challenge a fleshly mind. Sometimes it challenges so much that it's not even going to listen. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, 34 through 39. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemy will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Who loves his son or daughter is not more than me is not worthy of me. Who does not take his own cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. He who has lost his life for my sake will find it. People read those verses, and it doesn't give them warm, fuzzy feelings. Why will there not be flesh? Why will there not be peace? Because fleshly man does not want to hear of a moral system that is not based upon what he feels, what feels good to him or around him. Truth is going to challenge the world perception of reality, because this is the true reality. Most people out there aren't living in reality. You know, they are totally checked out. They live in their own little bubble, what's good for them. You know, that's not. This is the true reality, the reality that comes down from heaven. And this truth will challenge people. That is why proving the Bible is the Word of God is the most important thing you can do with people. See, only those that actually believe that this is true are going to stick with it. Why? Because it's not always going to feel good. It will not always feel good. There will be times where things just don't feel good. When we come to Christ, our old thought process needs to die. And God puts that picture that your old life is dead to sin. That is an awesome picture, and that is the power of the Scriptures. He puts that picture in there, and he gives you His Spirit so that it is possible. But it takes time. And what is worse, and what is sometimes harder, is that, you know, I don't know about you guys, when I was immersed into Christ, I came up new, and I've known since that day. I know the exact day, minute, hour I was made new. I don't know the exact hour, but I remember it vividly. You know, so and sometimes when I have to go back and I'm through those challenges, I remember that because I know this Word is true. Because you know what? Sometimes, even though I am that new man, the old emotions still fire. That's the old man, the inner man that needs to die. See, there are things that trigger us, and those triggers don't just disappear when we become a Christian. And we've got to somehow deal with those and move forward, get past them. Those emotions can come up in us. Even as the new wiring is coming into play. And is that we're going to be challenged? What are we going to hold to? Are we going to listen to that emotion, or are we going to go with truth, what is written in the Scriptures? That's the challenge. And people run into this every day, especially if you're newer in Christ. Because the challenge is feelings are real. But unless feelings are based upon truth, they cannot be acted upon. They have to be pushed aside, and you have to move forward to what you know is true. An example. We'll go back to, here's an example of what may happen. Let's say I show up one day and someone painted the building blue. And blue is my, I hate blue. I can't believe they painted that blue. Blue just gets me fired up. So the anger, let's say blue is my trigger point. Let's say a blue building just gets me fired up. Is the feeling of being angry real? Yes. I might actually feel angry that the building is blue. The check, though, does God care what color the building is? No. So that is old thought process. Chuck it and move on. Have to move on to that new life. If we don't let go of that old life, then it can take us down. I kid you not. I guarantee that someone has left a church, whether it be truth or not, based upon carpet color, building color, something. Something pity like that. Which that is all pity. You know what? If I showed them this building was blue, you know what I'd say? Guess God wants a blue building. I think God can figure out how to paint the building. He'll take care of that. God is concerned about souls. But sometimes as we're coming into Christ, or even after being in Christ a while, every once in a while those trigger points may get hit. We have to realize it's just an emotion. Let it go. What is real and what is true is the Scripture. If that truth has, if that feeling or emotion has nothing to do with the Scriptures, chuck it. Move on. Let's turn to James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. God kind of works on this, but a little bit different take. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. When sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. This is a little bit different context in dealing with lust. But you know what? Where does lust start out? It's a feeling. It's an emotion. You got to realize it for what it is. Put it aside. Move on. That's what really is being commanded here. Let's say I had a problem with lust before as a Christian. Once you become a Christian, that lust, it could still be, lust of the flesh, it could still be floating around a little bit. You got to get rid of it. You got to move on. As you move on, it has less and less power over you. God will not put you in anything that you can't handle. That's a very loose paraphrase of something in Romans, I think. But if you, we can look her up a little bit later. But that's basically what's going on there. Once I become a Christian, I need to realize any emotion for what it is. Lust, whatever it may be. And is it based upon truth? Emotions are great. They can really fire you up. Man, when you guys sing awesome, that really gets me fired up. When I hear great preaching, that gets me fired up. Should I be fired up about that? Yes. The Scriptures talk all about that. Being fired up for the Lord. Zealous for the Lord is what he says. Those emotions have a place in the right context. They really fuel us. Is the emotion in being in love, does that have a place? Yeah. It gets guys over being so awkward around women. When you're young, it's got a place. Everything, all of our emotions have a place in the right context. But they have to be in the right context. In the wrong context, they can cause lots of problems. It's not the emotion, looking here in James, it's not the emotion that causes the problems. It's the acting upon them. If you have a feeling of, let's say you're struggling, you have a feeling with lust. Is the emotion wrong? No. You chuck it and put it aside. Is getting angry at something wrong? No. Chuck it and put it aside. Move forward. As you put that stuff aside, it will no longer have any power over you. As you move forward in your new life in Christ, these things, they will not affect you. God will get you through them. He promises, he guarantees it, but we have to believe it. Emotions have power, but they only have power if acted upon. As we act upon truth, our character becomes more in line with God's character. And then our actions and our whole character becomes more like him. So Pilate asks the big question, what is truth? That's really an eternal question. And if asked in the right context, I believe that's probably the biggest question in the world. It's really sad that Pilate didn't wait for the answer. Sure, Jesus had it for him, but, you know, if people don't want the truth, you ain't going to get too far with them. It's only the honest heart that's going to listen. The truth really is in here. But the truth of that is that everyone's not going to want to hear the truth, because God's truth will challenge them. Only someone that believes that it's the Word of God. That's why you really got to work on that. We got to believe the Bible is the Word of God. And then you just put it out there. Some will listen, some won't. We can't judge the fields. I think Luke's brought that up a few times. We don't know where the seeds, you know, what the ground is. And an awesome thing he said, the ground gets to choose itself sometimes. And we can choose whether we need good ground or good soil. So we just got to put it out there. We put the truth out there. But we should never fall into the laps if it's going to make people feel good. And if you're challenging your own life. I've been challenging my own life in this assembly. This is probably one of the larger assemblies I've ever assembled, except for a few months in Idaho. But you know what? As you get these personal relationships, you know, you'll be challenged every once in a while. I have to ask myself, you know, if I have a strange feeling, like, I don't want to go there, that person, is it based upon truth? Is it in the Scriptures? Does it have a purpose, a point in this spiritual revolution? If not, chuck it and move on. It's my problem. I need to get over it. You know, this is what we base our feelings and emotions on. The more you base them on this, the more you're going to be like them. That's really where it needs to be. The old life had some old emotions to deal with. And feelings are tricky because they feel so real. But feelings not based upon the Word of God are bad messages being transmitted to you from your CPU. And you know what? God's making you a new CPU. Okay? And it's more turbocharged than anything out there. You know? And it will not be act upon them as you move forward. So we just need to filter them and push them aside. God gave you the truth to work off of, and it's the Scriptures. And I repeat, only by reading this daily. That's why it's so important to read your Scriptures daily. You got to get the right wiring in there. You got to get it in there. You read this daily, I guarantee you'll be changed. Actually, I don't guarantee you'll be changed. God guarantees you'll be changed. I can't guarantee anything. What I can do is that you put this in there daily, and it will rewire the old thoughts. By reading this daily, you will change the processing, and you will change your emotions so they are more in line with the one who created them. Thanks.